So with this, let us understand about Victor Room's expectancy theory. Victor Room has given this very important theory where he says that whenever a person is putting in some effort, he is going to expect that this is going to improve the performance of the person. So that is the effort performance relationship in the form of attractiveness. If the effort is leading to more performance, it means he is attracted to do that. Then performance reward, that means instrumentality, where if you perform better, you should get a better reward, so that the performance should be instrumental to getting a better reward. Similarly, the reward and personal goals, there is a valency. So if you get this reward, is it going to achieve the personal goal? That means, is it valuable to you or not? So based on this important aspect, Victor Room has given us this theory. Will the effort result in desirable performance? Will the performance level result in desired rewards? And will the rewards satisfy individual needs? These are the three aspects. And so motivation is multiplication of all three aspects, that is effort performance, that is attractiveness, performance reward, that is instrumentality, and reward to personal goals, that is valency. So when all three are properly taken care of, a person will be highly motivated. For example, you are all students of MBA. If you feel that you put in more efforts in studies, your performance will be better. That is, say you will get 70% marks or 75% marks in the subject of HRM. And if you perform better, if your paper goes very well in your multiple choice questions, or suppose it's a presentation as well, then you should get really good marks, and it should lead to a promotion in your job or something which is your personal goal, or it has got that kind of value that your parents will be very happy, they are going to give you some valuable gift, whatever you have decided about the personal goal. So that's where the three aspects we saw: instrumentality, the attractiveness, instrumentality, and the valency is concerned. Expectancy and instrumentality and valency is concerned. So suppose a salesman is told that if you sell 30% more products, you will be given 10% incentive as extra pay, as a variable pay. If he sells 30% more next month, in spite of that, if he is not given 10% extra pay, only 2% extra pay is given, then naturally he will not be motivated next time. So the expectancy is not taken care of. Now, the performance and reward, in spite of doing performance, he is not getting the reward, and his personal goal of achieving more for his family is not taken care of. So as per the Room's expectancy theory, whatever has been promised based on the effort to performance and reward should be taken care of properly and should be given, rather than saying that my company this month is not doing that well, so that's why we are not going to give you as it was told. So this is how Victor Room has given us very important theory of motivation. Which is highly applicable in achieving the goals of the organization. And one should take into consideration this theory, and hence, based on the efforts of a person, we should get the performance what he is getting. Suppose his efforts are not in the right direction, then he should be trained accordingly. If he is lacking certain skills, he should be trained for those skills so that his performance improves, first of all. And based on his performance, he should be given a reward also, which should be in line with his valency or his value. Suppose a person is putting in more efforts in achieving better performance and thinking about the reward because he is from a poor family, and if he gets a promotion which will lead to 5000 rupees more per month, it will be very valuable for his family in their day-to-day requirement. In that case, he's got a high valency for this. So one should see to it that such a person is kept where his competencies are useful. He should be given the right kind of guidance and support and the resources whatever he requires to see to it that, and the training programs to see to it that his performance improves, and he should be given the due rewards. Other person who is already rich, who is getting say 30,000 rupees per month as a pocket money from his father, for him probably the getting a promotion and getting 5,000 rupees extra may not be that much valuable. In that case, that person cannot be motivated by this, and in that case one should find out, as a superior of this person, what are his, to what thing he values. Suppose he is a football fan and he is interested in going to see the final match of the football fan in Brazil. Then he should be told that in case you are achieving these kinds of results, then we are going to sponsor you to go and view that match after 3 months that it's going to come, or after 6 months that it's going to come. In that case, that thing will be more valuable to him, and that will motivate him to achieve those results. So that's the importance of Room's theory of expectancy theory of motivation. With this, let us understand how we can apply these motivation theories in day-to-day practice so that we get better performance from our employees. First and foremost, job design is very important. Job description model is talking about skill variety, task identity, task significance, autonomy, and feedback. When there is a skill variety, that means when a person is supposed to use various skills in his job, he does multi-skilling, so a variety of jobs he is going to do, which will cut away the boredom part from the person, which will energize him to do better, learn newer skills, and skill variety will motivate him further. As far as the task identity is concerned, the type of task a person is doing is interesting task based on his competencies, and it is leading to value addition for the individual, for the organization, for the society, etc., then definitely he will feel that this is the task I should do, and he will be motivated. Similarly, the task significance, whatever task he is doing, how significant it is in the whole of the organization's mission statement, if he knows this significance, definitely it will motivate a person to do better. For example, suppose a sweeper is there in the hospital. If he is told that, oh, all that garbage is there around, you are supposed to clean it, that's all, and it should be daily done before 8 o'clock and again at 2 o'clock, then he is not going to be that motivated, because he feels that, okay, I am not that much educated, I am illiterate, I can't work as a clerk or an accountant or something. I had to do this kind of menial work. But if the hospital administrator tells this people in front of everybody that, my dear friend, so and so, you are going to take care of the housekeeping of this hospital, which is a very important task to be done for this hospital, because if that is done well, it is going to lead to reduction of the hospital acquired infections, which is going to help the patient to go home early with a smiling face. Otherwise, if he develops some infection in the hospital when he is admitted in the hospital within 48 hours, probably some organism which is there in the hospital because of the dirt, because of not taking care of the blood stains and body fluids and all, which are spread across at the right time, he is likely to develop multi-drug resistant infection, which will be difficult to treat. He'll have to stay in the hospital for a longer time, and it is going to create lot of anxiety and problem for the patient as well as for the doctors and the hospital administrator per se, because it's going to lose the name and fame of the hospital. So, my dear friend, it is your work which is very significant in this whole of hospital's image, and hence you should work conscientiously, and you should see to it that an excellent housekeeping is made in this hospital, and they'll be proud of your work, and he should be given the right kind of rewards and appreciation for that. Then he'll understand the task significance and he'll be motivated to work better with passion. Then comes autonomy. That means a person should be given autonomy to take care of his resources, to take care of his work. No need of doing micromanagement for such a person, especially when he is a professional person or a highly skilled person. There is no need of doing micromanagement. Proper delegation should be given so that he is able to do his work. So he'll get more motivated to work. Feedback should be given by the customer directly as far as possible. When a person is told exactly, positive feedback whenever he is doing good, and negative feedback as a sandwich between the two positive feedbacks if required to improve upon, rather than to find a fault in him every time and personally having the derogatory remarks against him. One should not give that kind of feedback. So feedback will help the person to motivate. For example, when a person is selling something, if this salesman gets the feedback directly from the customer, he will know exactly what's wrong and how he can improve upon this, rather than his superior getting a feedback, filtering part of it and telling it to the salesman. So feedback is an important aspect in the job description model. Then he will be motivated. So, motivating potential score is equal to meaningfulness of the work multiplied by autonomy multiplied by feedback. And the meaningfulness of the work is equal to skill variety into task identity into task significance plus task identity plus task significance divided by 3. So, when this kind of meaningful work is given and autonomy and feedback is taken care of, it is going to help. Meaningfulness of work is equal to skill variety plus task identity plus task significance, the whole divided by 3. That means when there is a skill variety, task identity and task significance, 1/3 of that for each item one can say will lead to meaningfulness of the work. And as far as the meaningfulness of work is there and autonomy and feedback is also taken care of, there it's a multiplicative factor, then that will lead to motivating a potential score for the person to get motivated. So keeping motivation in mind, this model says that intrinsic rewards to the person in the form of motivation will be there if they learn, that's have the knowledge of the results by the proper feedback. They personally have performed well on the task where it is an experiential responsibility is there and autonomy is there, and they care about the task and outcome, that is experienced meaningfulness of the task is there, then it will motivate them further. And the greater the presence of these psychological states, higher will be people motivation, higher will be the performance of these employees, and higher will be the job satisfaction arrived by the employees. And this will lead to better organizational goals achievement. This will lead to better satisfaction, improve the consequentiality of absenteeism, and even turnover will be less. So let's understand how you are going to motivate a person by application of this theory further. One can redesign the job for higher motivation. One can do the job rotation for a person when his similar skills are utilized in various jobs. Although here there is no promotion, he gets an opportunity to work in some other department where his competencies in the similar field are taken care of. This will help in preventing the monotonous work that he has been doing, and hence it will motivate a person further. Secondly, job rotation also can help him in developing skills in certain other departments and getting to know about how those people are working. This will help in mutual adaptation of the work in future also, when he is going to be promoted, where he is going to work, going to take care of these two or three departments where he has got job rotation earlier. Job enrichment is increasing the level to which employee can control his planning. That means he should be given autonomy to control his planning, execution and evaluation of their work, which is a kind of motivation for him, because the job enrichment, when it leads to the feedback getting directly from the employees, from the customers, from the autonomy that he can utilize the resources required for achieving the goals, he himself can plan how to do this, and he can evaluate his work, that's the feedback he is going to get directly from the customers, and this will lead to motivation, as we have seen in the previous theory of the motivation concept by the job design or job description model. Then comes alternative work arrangement, where a person may get flexi time. For example, suppose a person has got some work of the bank. Now he is working from 9 to 5, which is the same time for him to go to the bank also for the personal work. But suppose he is given a flexi time, say 10 to 3, he should be there in the office, but remaining time he can adjust on his own, right from morning 7 to night 7. In that case, he can do his personal work, he can take care of his children as far as the parent teachers meeting etc. is concerned also if required, and that's how the person can take care of work-life balance in much better way. Flexi time especially is important for females where they are looking after the family as well as the job. They are looking after their children. Secondly, when a female is pregnant, it will be difficult to work for a long time like this. In between, if she gets some rest, it will be easy for her to work. So flexi time will be useful for her. And once she delivers also, when she is doing a flexi time, at times may be more helpful for her to take care of the child as far as the breastfeeding and other duties are concerned for the child. Similarly, job sharing. When a person cannot work for a longer time because of the sickness, if there is a job sharing done for 4-4 hours each by two people for the same job, it will help the person still to continue the job and take care of the family or take care of the sickness that he is having. Suppose a person is having bilateral kidney failure and he needs dialysis to be done 4 hours alternate day. So when there is a job sharing concept taken care of in the department of the organization, he can work for 4 hours, then go for the dialysis and come next day. And the remaining 4 hours somebody else is doing his job. So job sharing will help a person to continue the job rather than leave the job. Similarly, telecommuting, where a person can work from home also with use of computers or telephone and all, or wherever he is there on the run, especially a marketing person and all, these things can be useful and they can work in a better way. And this will motivate a person to remain in the organization for a longer time, and he'll be loyal to the organization because his needs are taken care of by the person and by the employer, and hence he will not leave the organization. So employee turnover will reduce, absenteeism due to some personal work will reduce, and at the same time the organization goals will be achieved in a better way. Motivation by employee involvement. Whenever there is a participative management, that means while taking decisions, if the employees are also taken into confidence, brainstorming is done, even their suggestions are taken, then definitely when some decisions are made by the employee and the employer together, there will be more commitment towards the employee side to achieve those goals of the organization. So participative management is more common in factories where work committees are there and the canteen committees are there and all, but it has got some limitation because participative management can be done only by highly experienced and professional people. Not everybody can take part in making the decisions, in higher decisions that the management is taking. However, representative participation is more commonly done, where the employees are choosing some representatives, as in union president and secretaries, they are going to do the collective bargaining for them. So representative participation can be there, which will help ultimately in taking care of their employees who are, to whom they are representing with the management, and hence when they are participating in taking the decision, who are capable enough to do that, it is going to motivate all the employees as a whole, because ultimately if they directly are not participating, their representatives are participating in achieving those decisions, and hence they are going to be more motivated to achieve the goals of this, and there won't be any resistance on the part of the employees to follow these directions. Motivating through salary. This is the third type of motivation which may occur, where you are delinking the compensation structure, and hence we are going to take care of the internal external equity, whereby as per the J. Stacey Adams theory of equity, we see to it that internally when people are taken, recruited and selected, they should be getting equal salary for the amount of qualification, experience, etc., and the skills that are going to be used in their work are taken care of. So one should not have inequity as far as the salary of these people are concerned, so that they are not going to be under tension to remove this inequity. Same time, in a similar manner, they should take care of the external equity by taking the compensation survey of other organizations and comparing the compensation of their own organization to see to it that even the external equity is maintained, then people will be motivated to work for the organization. Some of them are paying higher than the other organizations, in which case people are going to be more loyal to them because they don't want to go to other organizations in that case, but then it requires lot of cost and one has to balance the profitability of the organization at the same time. Then there is another way of rewarding the employees by giving variable pay programs. It is more common in salesmen or all, where people, when they are giving better sales than the standard, they will be given a variable pay and incentive for that. Similarly, performance linked pay is a variable pay the managers are going to get based on the performance they have shown during the year. Developing a flexible benefit package also helps in motivating the people, because the various kinds of fringe benefits and perks that are given may not be useful to everybody in the same fashion. And hence, certain benefits some employees would love to take, while some other benefits other employees would love to take. And hence, they should be given an option to choose which benefits they want to take with the overall framework of the compensation package. And this will motivate the people to remain in this organization for a longer time. At the same time, there should be recognition programs for recognizing the achievement of the employees, either by giving a certificate of appreciation in public, or by giving promotions, or by giving more incentive and even ESOPs, employee share of stock option plan, is a kind of recognition program for those managers who are doing very good job and achieving the results of the organization in a better way by their extra efforts. So these are the various applications of motivation theories one can take, so that one can get the highly motivated, rather intrinsically motivated people, as well as where required, even extrinsic motivation to be given to employees, so that they can remain with the organization for a longer time. Their absenteeism will reduce, their performance will improve, which will lead to higher productivity and profitability for the company, and commitment and involvement of the employees, with more engagement of these employees for the organization, which will lead to better name and fame of the organization as well. So the brand image of the organization will also improve if they have got highly motivated people to work for them. Thank you.